Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, the Lamb who was slain is alive again and sits on the throne of God, dear fellow redeemed. Last Sunday we began a six-week journey through the book of Revelation, looking at pictures of a resurrected Savior. Remember last Sunday's picture of Jesus? Pretty different, wasn't it? It was a symbolical picture of not what Jesus looked like, but what Jesus is. Remember the white hair, the eyes like a flame of fire, the voice like the sound of many waters, the two-edged sword coming out of his mouth, his feet like fine brass, and his face shining as bright as the sun. The last thing we heard last Sunday was Jesus saying to John, "Write what you see." He said, "Write the things that are and the things that take place after this." Well, this morning we're jumping to chapter 5 of Revelation. In chapters 2 and 3, the Lord writes seven letters to the seven churches of Asia Minor. And then in chapter 4, John is taken up to see the throne of heaven itself. In Revelation 4, verse 1, we read, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, 'Come up here, and I'll show you things which must take place after this.'" What John saw was God's throne. And around God's throne were 24 more thrones and 24 elders sitting on those thrones. Then he saw four living creatures covered with eyes. One was the appearance of a lion. Another had the appearance of an ox. The third had the face of a man. And the fourth had the face of a flying eagle. And they all had six wings. And they continually didn't stop praising the Lord. And as John stood there before this glassy sea in this emerald colored rainbow, he heard the greatest music ever. He heard all these elders, the living creatures, all the angels around the throne, sing a song of praise to the Lamb. When John turned his attention to the figure in the center of the throne, he saw a scroll that was sealed. And John began to cry. He wept in despair because they could not find anyone worthy enough to open the scroll. But then a voice declared that the root of David was able to open it because of his triumph. And he looked and he saw a lamb on the throne who looked like it had been slain, but now is alive again, who took that scroll and opened it. And those 24 elders and those four living creatures fell down before this lamb and sang this song of praise. Praise to the Lamb who had died to redeem all people from their sins and make them kings and priests to rule with him. And that's where our text begins, with the second and third song of praise that these 24 elders and these four living creatures sang to the Lamb. We've entitled Our theme this morning, a song of hope in time of trial. And the three points are, it's a song of sins forgiven, it's a song of triumph of the Lamb, and it's a song of eternal fellowship with God. The words of these songs stand as an encouragement, not only to Christians of John's day, because many of them were going through persecutions, trials, sufferings, because of their faith in Christ Jesus, but to Christians who suffer anyway. In fact, these words of our text today would make a very beautiful, victorious funeral sermon, declaring the power, the victory that we have over death because of the victorious Lamb who lives and reigns and rules with all believers on the throne in heaven. It's also a beautiful song of praise for those Christians who are in the hospital, undergoing illnesses or diseases or surgery, the assurance that they have the victory. These words give in a very vivid way what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's the glory that we see in our sermon text this morning. The glory of the heavenly hosts surrounding the Lamb, Jesus, all the angels, all the believers, free from suffering, sickness, death, sin, damnation, victorious over all their enemies, sing endless praise to the Lamb. So we read the first two verses of our sermon text again. Then I looked, John says, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. The vision that John had seen to this point was staggering and mind-boggling. But now what he sees and hears can only be classified as being breathtaking. It's as if the heavens, doors of heaven were wide open, and John could see all the hundreds of thousands of angels are there. Those 24 elders, the four living creatures, singing songs of praise. What an inspiring and encouraging picture that would be for the scattered Christians of John's day who are suffering from persecution. They were a little flock, surrounded by many wolves. At this time in history, there weren't many Christians throughout Asia Minor. They were surrounded by more and more unbelievers. And yet they see here the countless thousands and hundreds of thousands of angels and all the believers in heaven. That's their future. A few years ago, I read that 29% of the world proclaim himself to be Christian. That's less than one-third. One-third of the world proclaim themselves to be Christian. And how many of those who proclaim themselves to be Christians truly are believers in Christ? Even in this so-called Christian nation of ours, true believers in Jesus are a little flock. We may feel small, powerless, helpless, but picture this vision in your mind. Here is the throne of heaven, a mighty throng, a multitude of angels, and all the believers, from the beginning of time to the end of time, standing around the Lord Jesus, singing shouts of praise and glory throughout eternity. Wow. The four living creatures are believed to be symbolical of all the living creatures on this earth. The 24 elders are symbolical of all the believers in Christ Jesus. In those seven letters to the seven churches, the Lord Jesus said several times that the believers would reign with him throughout eternity. Here on this earth, he even said to his disciples that they would be seated on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, together with the Son of Man, who would sit on the throne of his glory. 12 of those elders stand for the 12 children of Israel, symbolical of all the believers of the Old Testament. 12 other elders stand for the 12 disciples, symbolizing all the New Testament believers. And so these 24 elders symbolize all the believers of the Old Testament and New Testament gathered together around the throne, singing praises to the Lamb. And even as we heard last Sunday, there were 7 characteristics or features of Jesus, symbolical features. And even as Jesus wrote 7 letters to the 7 churches, in the first song of praise that we had this morning, there are 7 words of praise or accolades to the Lamb. Some are similar. The first two is, the Lamb has power, and the Lamb has strength. Now, you don't normally say power and strength for a lamb. A bull, maybe? A lion? But not a lamb. But this Lamb has received that power and strength because he now is exalted. He had given up his godly powers in his humiliation, laid it aside. And now in his exaltation, he again has the power of the Almighty God, the power of the Word, the power of the Lord of Lords, the power of the King of Kings, the power of one who not only gives life, but who is life in person. Jesus said just before he ascended to heaven to his disciples, "All power, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." First accolades, power and strength to the Lamb. The third accolade of praise, riches. Well, this also is a reference to all the things in heaven and earth. All riches, all power, all glory, all honor, which he's again set aside in his humiliation. He laid it aside, didn't use his godly powers fully, and came as a pauper for us, poor. But now all things are under his feet. He rules all things, all material wealth, all created things, all creatures, all of God's people. All riches is the Lamb's. Fourth accolade, wisdom. Now in the state of exaltation, again, the Lord Jesus uses his omniscience fully, knowing all things. All wisdom is his. And the last 3 accolades, honor, glory, and blessing. Jesus exchanged his suffering, his shame, his disgrace, his ridicule during his crucifixion and death for honor, glory, and blessing. Honor is the high regard and reverence that is due the Lamb, Jesus. Glory refers to the credit that is due him. And blessing means that praise that is due the Lamb. Now the song of praise reaches its climax in its second verse, we could say. In verse 13 we read, "And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as is in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Here the word for every creature is different than the living creatures. Since all of the living creatures are present in those 4 living creatures here, we could say that this means that all created things, even the inanimate objects that God created, will praise the Lamb. Like trees, and rivers, and mountains. That sounds strange. But the Lord said it even in the Old Testament. In Psalm 19:1, "The heavens declare the glory of God," the Lord said. In Psalm 94:98 we read, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song. Rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of a horn. Sing joyfully before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth." Notice that the worship that this mass choir offers to the Lamb also praises him as the one who sits on the throne. The Heavenly Father sent his Son, the Lamb, to be the suffering sacrifice, crucified upon the cross, But now, the Father exalts His Son, the Lamb, to sit on the throne, to rule, to judge all things, so that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. The end of the song of praise, the four living creatures shouted their assent and said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell prostrate on the ground and worshipped Him who lives forever and ever. The word Amen there is in the imperfect tense, signifying that they said it more than just once. Amen. It means, yes, it is true. Yes, it shall be so. And the 24 living elders there symbolize all those believers throw themselves down in humility and thankfulness to the Lamb who was slain and now is alive, because He saved them from their sins and now they rule with Him through eternity. John has been witness to the great event of heaven. Of all believers, of all the angels, gathered together around the throne of God, singing their praises to the Savior. Someday, that's where you and I will be. Someday on that judgment day, whenever it comes, we'll be there as those 24 elders, gathered together with all the angels, singing praises to our Lord and God. The Lord wanted His persecuted church to know this. He wanted them to be confident as they go through sufferings and persecution and trials, to realize this is their ultimate future. This is their ultimate victory. Don't despair. Don't give up. And that's why He had these words written down and revealed to them and to all of us. When that last Amen was sung, and the elders laid down before the Lamb in worship, then one of the most powerful songs ever heard came to an end. And I'm sure when you hear these words, you read these words, you can't but help think of the musical piece by George Handel entitled The Messiah. Listen to that piece of music, whether they have any musical knowledge at all, is still moved by the wonderful words the Lord gave to that man to proclaim the praise to the Lamb who is slain and lives forever. In fact, one almost wonders that the Lord didn't just inspire him, not in the same inspiration as the apostles, but inspire him to write these words so we'd have a foretaste in a small way, because there's sin and also the voices aren't perfect, but the kind of praise and glory and songs of jubilation that we will have around that throne. How blessed we are that God has redeemed us sinners, set us free, so that our future is not everlasting damnation in hell, separation from God, but an eternity of praising the Lord. No matter what we go through all the difficulties, trials, tribulations, troubles, sufferings, illness, loss of loved ones, whatever it is that we face, these words are a powerful encouragement to every single one of us. This is your future. This is where you will be throughout eternity. We need never despair because of our many, many sins. We need never give up because of constant chronic pain or illness. We never need to feel that we're all alone in this life, even if we suffer persecution. But no matter what we do, no matter how desperate our life may feel, or look like, or seem, we have someone or something that far surpasses every single problem that could ever face us in our life. A Savior who was slain for you and me. A Savior who paid for every single punishment and guilt of every single one of our sins, and rose again to assure us of complete forgiveness, life, and salvation. We have a place reserved for us on those thrones around the Lamb, where we will be face to face with the ever-living Lamb of God. So, let's rise and join together proclaiming the words of Revelation 5 in praise to our Savior. If you open your bulletins, you'll notice the words are darkened under the theme and parts on the insert. Please rise. Under point 3, beginning with "Worthy is the Lamb." Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our victorious Lord and Savior. Amen.